This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike to take you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I want to tell everybody at 520, we'll have on with us LSU head baseball coach Jay Johnson. Bob, we'll take a second away from text line. Man, Tom Fitzmaurice passed away yesterday. He was a unique guy. You know, he could talk food and drink with anyone. And he was always kind of wanting to know certain things about the difference between how things were cooked maybe on the bayou and in the big city. But you got a story about him also, about him. And he wasn't the biggest sports fan in the world.
No, he would just come to me out of the blue. You know, we're passing each other in the hall, and he'd say, hey, Bear, what's up? He goes, I don't even like football. I go, oh, well, I don't know. I make a living doing that, so I always liked it. And, you know, I don't know if he was trying to, you know, he was kind of, I mean, he was serious, you know, saying like, I'm not really a sports guy. And I said, well, sometimes I'm not a sports guy. And then, you know, we end up talking about not food or sports, but about travel. And international travel. Are we talking about, France? Are we talking about Italy? But more about traveling, more than food or sports. And he was totally devoted to his craft. And I don't know if he was putting on, but the way he would lead on is like, I don't know anything about sports and I don't care. it was the craziest thing.
But, man, he was a unique personality, a great guy, and, man, he'd be sorely missed, not only just for what he did on radio, also he was on television, had that weekly television show that he did, and so our thoughts and prayers go out to Miss Marianne, his family, and so many friends that, you know, talk so well about him. And if you ever met him, he was unique. That's only one Tom Fitzmaurice.
You know that niche. Think all the years he did radio talking about food, the food show. I remember a number of times when we'd be doing, you know, Mike, it might be a pregame for LSU, whatever, and it would be on Saturday, on the Big Stick, 870 WWL. It'd be like, oh, the food show. Then we go in now. And we're talking like LSU football on the pregame on Saturday. I remember that a number of times.
And, man, if he'd went to the LSU pregame, he'd really had a good time there. Charlie's got a couple of bites in talking about Derek Carr. Now, again, today, when you listen to Kellen Moore, he gave you a non-answer answer about Derek Carr. But, Charlie, you're going to play it for us.
Yeah, Derek's a tremendous quarterback in this league. I've had so much respect for him, the journey that he's been on. He's a starter in this league. He's a premier player in this league. He's had a great journey, obviously going from Fresno State to the Raiders and now here. Really excited to team up with him and go through this process. And so just like any player on this roster, I just got here a few days ago, and I'm excited to go through this journey with all of them. I view it as Derek Carr is a tremendous starting quarterback in this league. We're fortunate to have him, and we're excited to go through this process, you know, as we build this roster together. Again, I'm meeting these guys for the first time the last few days. I'm really excited to meet more of them, and this will be a lot of fun.
So that was Kellen Moore on Derek Carr, nothing specific. And so he leaves the table wide open for what could happen. And we all know Derek Carr would be the bridge guy if he's kept for a year into 2026. But that decision has not been made yet.
Right, has not been made. And Mickey Loomis did say this in the coaching process when they were looking who's going to be the future head coach. That obviously, you know, what you say in public, what happens behind the scenes could be...
It's four different things.
Yeah, yeah. So when he said, no, the new head coach, whatever he wants, even like Mickey said, where are we going to have training camp? Who's going to be the future quarterback? But that's when the salary cap does come into play. Whether, you know, when you release a player or when you keep him and how much money you have to eat. Now, it has happened before. Just recently, look at Sean Payton. Mike, what did he eat? $40 million, I want to say,
with
Russell Wilson.
Look what the Giants did with Daniel Jones.
With Daniel Jones in the middle of the season. So, yeah, that's why, no, it's interesting to see what's going to happen with Derek Carr as the future. But I know Kellen Moore would get the better version out of Derek Carr if he was to coach him. Because I think whoever he's coaching, he'll make – Dak Prescott talks about how Kellen Moore helped develop him as a quarterback. Wherever he's been, I'm sure now they had off year, but you know, Justin Herbert, I'm sure, has Kellen Moore stories. And obviously Jalen Hurts being MVP in the Super Bowl, how much Kellen Moore has helped him. So whoever's the quarterback, they will be better under his tutelage going forward. Now you got to win games, whatever that might be. But right now, Mike, I don't know, flip a coin whether Derek Carr is the quarterback or not. I know they're not Kellen Moore go way back to college when he was at Boise State, and they played against each other. Derek Carr was at Fresno State. Boise State was way better. They crushed them.
Oh, yeah, they had waxed that game.
Yeah, and so I think the jury's still out on that decision with Derek Carr being the future quarterback.
Let's go back to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Tyler and Hammond. Tyler, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right, Tyler.
Hey, I wanted to give my thoughts on how I think the Saints should proceed and kind of get y'all's thoughts on what y'all think.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I think, all in all, I think we should try to trade Carr. If we can't, then I say cut him, save that $30 million in cap space. And then you go pick up Jameis Winston in free agency. As a bridge quarterback, y'all all saw how great he was in the city during Super Bowl coverage. I think he's got immaculate vibes for the locker room. He's a great piece in the locer room. May not translate on the field, but like I said, he's more of a bridge player. And I think we kind of try to go after Nussmeier or Arch Manning in the draft next year, potentially. If they want to take a chance on Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I would not use a first-round pick on that. I'd wait for a second or third round.
Well, if you don't pick Jackson in round one, you're not going to get him in the second round. You might trade back, but Jackson Dart, he's not getting out of round one. That too many teams looking for quarterbacks today. And so we're not sure how it's going to kind of fall with Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. But number three on the list is Jackson Dart. And I think some team, it might be at 22 or 27, whatever, or some team trading up. You know why it's important to get him? You got an extra year. You get that fifth year on that contract.
I don't know. With Jameis Winston, I mean, what does it have to do? Because he was a reporter and he was outstanding on the social scene during the Super Bowl week. What does that have to do him playing? I mean, I don't know, Tyler. What you think? Jameis Winston's active. He wants to be a part. No, he's very colorful, which is a good thing, depending on your craft, what you're doing. But why in the end of the season, why didn't Cleveland keep sticking with him? No, that would not be a bridge guy. Derek Carr would be a better bridge guy than Jameis Winston for the future quarterback.
When we come back here on Sports Talk, we'll have on with us the head baseball coach of the LSU Fighting Tigers, Jay Johnson, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line, the skipper of the LSU Fighting Tigers, Jay Johnson. Jay, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, Coach.
Good to talk to you guys. How you been?
Been great. Coach, I got to tell you this story. Last week, we doing all this Super Bowl coverage, you know, in the convention center, and man, you're getting grabbed to do interviews here and there, if it's Las Vegas or New York or Chicago, you name it, to pull me aside. And one of them asked me a really good question. I had to give him an honest answer. Said, what's the worst part about doing Sports Talk? And I said, man, from May 15th to the end of June, so you got to do me a solid, Coach. You got to keep winning and get this team to Omaha. You got to get me through that rough stretch, Coach. Do that for me. I would really appreciate it.
Hey, you know what? I was already plenty motivated to do all that, but you just gave me another reason. So let's go. Let's help you out.
I appreciate it, Coach. Coach, yesterday you talked about what would you run basically your weekend lineup. And for people who kind of short memory about Chase Shores, he really looked great. Now it's been out a year and a half. Right-handed pitcher for you, and you announced that he would be your Sunday pitcher, but I think everybody wants to know about his progress injury-wise, how that's gone. But man, Chase Shores is somebody, he's a big man up on that mound, and boy, if he can stay healthy, you got something there. And early on, will this be sort of a pitch count or inning count with him?
Well, we actually do that with all of our pitchers early in the year. You won't see anybody start an inning after 90 in the non-conference. And, you know, happy to report, you know, Chase was up to 75 last weekend. We pushed him to that.
Okay.
He's at a full ramp. The good thing about his surgery timing is he obviously, unfortunately, missed all of last year, but we are not rushing him back. Like, when you talk about pitching in a competitive game, he'll be at just about 21, 22 months since the last time he pitched. And what I've learned about Tommy John, the longer you have, the better it goes. But he's built his pitch count, so he's actually about right where he should be, you know, as if the injury never happened, which is outstanding.
Now, Coach Johnson, how do you view, name, image, and likeness, transfer portal and all that comes about, and the expectations from a fan base or you know, a top-notch university like LSU and the expectations that come with that. Obviously, look at LSU football fans. Well, damn, we got to be in the playoffs. Is that the Final Four? Can we be in that Final 12? Do you feel like, okay, SEC, we want to be an SEC champion, the SEC tournament and all that stuff. But is it like the people come on the street and tell you, Coach Johnson, are we going back to Omaha or not?
Well, what's great about that is as much as those people want to be in Omaha, they want it about 1% of the way I want it. So, and I hope that's reflected in the way we work, the way we run the program. Certainly proud of the fact that, you know, we won a national championship in our second year. That's never been done in the history of college baseball, so I'm proud of that. We've played in 6 championship games in the 3 years that I've been here, and super excited about where we're headed. And I know the deal here, and it's why I came here. You know, you want as many bites at the apple as you possibly can, and my whole life is built around Omaha, so you might as well be at a place that wants to be there and tries to help you get there as much as the people and the fans at LSU do.
Coach, one of the guys that hot buzz, I know we get a lot of calls and texts about it, Daniel Dickinson, who was at Utah Valley, coming here now, looks as though he'll be your second baseman. But give everybody a little bit of a profile on Daniel, and he seems to be somebody, man, the buzz is on him.
Yeah, really good player. Can affect the game in a lot of ways. You know, I'll go a different reference, like a football reference, like, and I think about like Darren Sproles, you know, who was such a great player, you know, in the NFL
right,
for the Saints. And, you know, he could impact the game a lot of ways. He could run the ball. He could catch it out of the backfield. He could return kicks. Like, that's kind of Danny on the baseball field. He's got hitting ability. He's got a little bit of power. He's a really good base runner, good speed, good range on defense. So he just impacts the game in a lot of ways. And, you know, the best part about him is he plays really hard. So he's an easy player to get behind, and he'll make a big impact on our team this year.
Now, Coach Johnson, I guess it's a good problem to have is that when you have a lot of really good players, but they can't all play. I mean, it's a constant evaluation. And just talk about that process. It's like if you're hot, you're hot, and maybe against a particular team who might be in the lineup. But I guess that'd be better to have too many good players than not enough when you talk about you only could have 9 on the field and the different roles they might have. But just talk about that, and I know you want to have that depth because you're going to have injuries and all that. But I know you take the approach that, hey, you got to produce, and if you're the best, you're going to be out there.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the good part about LSU is the players know they're at LSU, meaning they know we're going to have other good players, and the expectation is to play well often. And so that's just kind of part of the thing that comes along with it. And, you know, you want to build a roster that has some versatility because, you know, you see left-handed pitchers, you see right-handed pitchers. You know, winning in the SEC, you need power, but to win in Omaha, you really need speed and defense. And so I think we have a very well-balanced team, and we'll find time for guys. And the goal is to win as many games as we can while we're kind of figuring out that recipe or what that best team ultimately looks like. And I'm excited to do that. Yeah, I will say that, you know, one of our things for this year is really being together and committed to the team. And, you know, we haven't had any adversity yet. You know, I haven't written out that first lineup or somebody hasn't not played for three games, but I do like the vibe of the togetherness of the team right now.
Coach, a guy that basically grew up in Baton Rouge, but got to pitch out on the Bayou, and I still live there. So I got to see him play for a couple years at Nichols, Jacob Myers, and then transfers to LSU. What is kind of his role here on the pitching staff for the Tigers? You talk about a guy that he wasn't even a zero recruit. I mean, he got recommended to Nichols State by somebody who thought, man, look at him. He's got some potential there. Did a great job as a freshman. Followed that up with a really strong year last year. But your thoughts on Jacob Myers and kind of where he fits in your rotation at LSU?
Yeah, I'm excited about Jacob. He's tremendously talented. He's kind of one of those X-factor guys where when it clicks for him, we go to a different level as a team. He's going to pitch out of the bullpen. He's going to face some of the other team's best hitters. And if he's on, it's really hard to hit him hard and square up. So we're excited about Jacob. He's a great kid. He's got a great family. Very thankful that he chose LSU, and I can't wait to get him in the ballgame.
What are the kind of changes, and all skippers go through this, what's best for the team, and you move Steven Milam to the shortstop position. Michael Braswell, now who's playing short now, is at third. But the decision to move Milam to the shortstop position, was that something he thought of or you thought of, or you just say, hey, look, this best for the team and best for him?
You know, we have a really good infield this year. When you talk about Steven, he played pretty much every day last year and was a freshman All-American. Michael's played 3 years in the SEC. Jared Jones back at first base, a lot of experience. And then adding Danny, who's, you know, Team USA infielder. I think we just needed to figure out what was going to be best for the totality of the team. And then really what happened was we were about to make the move in the middle of the fall, and he got sick, and he actually missed. Steven got sick and missed like 3 weeks. So I actually feel like we would have had this resolved in the fall, but because he got sick, we didn't really have it resolved. So a lot of people made a big deal about it, but he's a really good infielder. He's got good feet. He can come get the ball. He's got good lateral quickness right and left, which, you know, allows him to have good range, make a lot of plays. He always talks in the field. You want your shortstop to be a talker out there and keep everybody engaged. So I'm really excited to have him there.
Coach Jared Jones, we had Scott Sanders on a few times, and he was like, Mike, what I'm seeing with him is his development as a hitter. He sort of reminded me a little bit of a guy, man, growing up, I watched him play, Dave Kingman. It was either a strikeout or a home run. There was nothing in between with it with Kingman. But he became a much better hitter as the season went along. And I know one thing, if you're in a fight, you want him on your side because, man, the way he's pieced together, his development in the fall and also into the spring as an all-around player, because you could tell that guy's got a lot of talent and he could hit a baseball.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think the exciting part is the best is yet to come. This is a guy that's hit 42 homers in his first 2 years, done a lot of great things. We got lucky in getting him through the draft because he was draft eligible last year. And he's really improved here in this last year. And I'm glad to hear somebody has recognized that. He's in a great spot to start this year. And what I like is I think we got a little more help for him in the lineup. Obviously, we lost a great player in Tommy White. But I think the totality of the 1-9 this year is much better. And that's going to give Jared a lot of opportunities, which is great.
Coach, there's always, when you bring guys in, if it's transfer or freshman, you expect that they're going to be pretty good players. But has there been a one guy, or maybe two guys, that have stuck out to you and say, wait, he's a lot better than maybe even we thought he would be when we recruited him? Has there been that type player or players on the roster, transfer portal guy, or maybe even from the freshman ranks, that has kind of outplayed even expectations?
Yeah, good. I appreciate that question. I think there's several. You know, I'll go a couple different directions. Chris Stanfield, who we're very familiar with, he played at Auburn in the last 2 years. I thought he was a really talented player. You know, the freshman had two hits off Paul Skeens, and I was thinking at that time, like, man, we got to deal with this guy for the next couple years, which didn't fire me up too much. But he decided to go in the transfer portal, and he didn't really have a great season last year at Auburn for, you know, whatever reason. But he's a great athlete, electric athlete, been open to coachings, made some really good improvements offensively, much like Michael Braswell did last year. So I'm really excited about Chris. You know, one of our best freshman recruits, Derek Curiel. I mean, I knew he was a good player. I've been recruiting the kid since he was in seventh grade, and I was still at Arizona at the time. So it's not a surprise that he's good, but maybe a little bit of a surprise that maturity-wise he's as far along as he is. And so kind of excited about those two guys on the position player side. A couple pitchers that come to mind, Connor Benj, transfer from Dallas Baptist, right-hander that I think we're going to use a lot. And then another big 6'9 right-hander, Maverick Rizzi from Massachusetts, freshman. He's going to be getting the ball early and often, you know, late in the game, and super excited about him.
6'9", that's the big unit, part two, right? 6'9".
Yeah, like I could put myself on my shoulders like three times and I wouldn't be as tall as him.
You know what, Coach Johnson, talking about the pitching staff, obviously you want great pitchers. I don't care if they're right or left-handed, but what is the breakdown and how do you view the staff, whether you're looking at starters, middle relievers, or closers? How does that come about, right or left-handers?
Well, we had a lot of work to do. We broke an SEC record last year for number of pitchers drafted. We led the country in strikeouts, and so we have a lot of turnover. So there's going to be a lot of new. Now, there's plenty of talent, but there's a little bit of new, you know. I think we have five left-handers on the staff. Not quite sure exactly the number of right-handers, but we kind of grouped them into guys that can extend for multiple innings, you know, 3 to 5 innings versus guys that are good for what I call one shot seal, so to speak. Like, you'll see a lot of guys roll out and give us a great inning, and then we'll hand it over to the next guy. But our pitching coach, Nate Yeske, has done a really good job and lining those guys up and giving them a good identity that they're pitching off of. And there's some tremendous young talent in there as well. So really excited about our pitching for this year and moving forward.
Coach Johnson, before we let you run, I'm going to hop in here and just ask you about the SEC again this year, because our friends over at D1 released their preseason top 25 and 6 of the top 10 from the SEC. It feels like every single year we're talking about this. But your early kind of gauge on, you know, your conference opponents, obviously we still have a few weeks to go until conference play and all that, but the SEC is going to be loaded once again this year. It's going to be another gauntlet.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember this. I was just like a little kid when they used to have that WWF wrestling matches. They think they called it like the Royal Rumble, where those guys would all just go in there and beat up on everybody. That's the best thing I can come up with for league play. It's gonna be tough. A lot of good teams. 14 teams that probably could go to Omaha, if you want my opinion.
Coach, that's a lot. And you know, we kind of brag about SEC football wise, but there is nothing comparing that to SEC baseball because of the number of teams. It's unbelievable. And listen, we all love SEC football, but SEC baseball, best coaches, best players. Okay, kind of, I grew up watching most of those guys. They stayed out west. It was more of a West Coast deal. Every once in a while, you know, it kind of snuck into Texas a little bit. But it was much more on the West Coast. Today, it is SEC dominated.
No doubt about it. It's really hard to explain to people from the outside. And, you know, I have as good a perspective as anybody, you know, coming from being a West Coast guy. And times have changed, you know, because the investments the schools have made, the best players from out there are coming out here. And let me look at our deal, you know, with Paul Skeens, you know, with Gage Jump, with Thatcher Hurd, you know, this year, Anthony Ianson, you know, our Saturday starter, Derek Curiel, I mentioned, a freshman from West Covina, California, Riley Cooper, you know, we've got a pipeline here, but so does everybody else. You know, Vanderbilt's obviously had great players from California. Blake Burke, Tennessee's first baseman last year, was from California. Like, the best players are coming and playing in our league, and that's just the way that it is. I mean, you know, I'll use last year as an example. Like, you know, we finished seventh in the league, and we went to a regional at North Carolina, who, in my opinion, was the best team outside of the SEC last year, and we're striking out away from beating them on their home field and, you know, being back here for a home super regional. And that was the best team outside of our league last year. So the league's just on a different planet than everybody else.
Well, Coach Johnson, let me tell you how the fan base, how we view the LSU Fighting Tigers. You know, everything's big in Texas, but LSU baseball is big in Louisiana. You know, we got the Saints NFL, we got the Pelicans, that's an NBA team. You can't get any higher than that. And then you can look in Texas, the Aggies, and you got the Longhorns. Well, I don't know, they got the Houston Astros. I think I've heard of them, Major League Baseball, and you got the Texas Rangers and all that. Well, fans have said, you know what? How we treat LSU baseball, that's our Major League team. And how we look in the spring and the summer, and we said, no, Louisiana, we don't have, New Orleans doesn't have a Major League Baseball team. I say, yeah, we do, the LSU Fighting Tigers. That's our Major League team.
That's right. And tell everybody, keep telling everybody that. That's what we talk about here. This is the Major League team for our state. And I'll tell you what, like, you know, I kind of came here on a leap of faith, but, you know, 3.5 years into it, getting ready for year four, it's exceeded my expectations. And I'm very grateful for the support. I'm all Louisiana all the time now, and just very thankful for how the state gets behind us.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us. I got a neighbor of mine, he tells me this all the time. There's two seasons in this world. It's not winter, summer, spring, fall. There's LSU football season, LSU baseball season. Nothing else. That's it for him.
That's right. That's right. Let's keep it that way.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
All righty. That was the skipper of the LSU baseball team, Jay Johnson. We come back, we'll have on our triple option feature, myself along with Bobby J and also Steve Geller, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with Steve Geller, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm going to throw it to Charlie. This is a cut from the press conference with Kellen Moore, talking about what he's going to emphasize in trying to rebuild the Saints.
Yeah, that identity is still the same. We want to be a smart team. We got to play really smart situational football. We want to be able to play fast guys when they're fast and free and confident. They play at a really high level. And then obviously we want to be a really physical football team. We recognize I'm a quarterback guy and I love the quarterback position, but this game has so much impact on the offense and defensive lines. And that's really truly how you control games and build this thing the right way.
Bingo. That's what I want to hear. Offensive and defensive line. Being a former quarterback, he knows one thing. If I don't get protection up front and I can't run the ball, I'm not going nowhere. And those defensive linemen, they're looking at putting me on my butt. So I wanted to hear that from Kellen Moore. Now let's get some players. Bob?
Well, how about you think this will occur? It would stand to reason. You know, who you're familiar with, who's on your staff. You know, who's your defensive coordinator or different positions. And it's all about relationships. Talking about, this is something that the wife would be all for. How about Garrett Nussmeier, the quarterback at LSU? You don't think he wants his dad, maybe Doug, back home? I mean, look at this. Here's the quarterback coach, Doug Nussmeier, and he's played with the Saints in the 90s. And he's the father, obviously, of Garrett Nussmeier. Wouldn't that be a good deal? I know the wife would be all for that. I think they got a son still playing with Mike. Is in Dallas.
Yep.
That's proximity to New Orleans and Baton Rouge and all that. So I could see when, you know, when you're putting your staff together, that Doug Nussmeier would be part of a quarterback coach. I'll still call the plays, But you could be the offensive coordinator. You know, like Doug Marone. Remember one time when he was the offensive coordinator, but Sean Payton still calling the plays? You know, maybe make a few extra bucks. But that would be interesting to see if Doug Nussmeier ends up coming here. Brandon Staley, I would expect him to be the defensive coordinator. You know, Vic Fangio, coaching tree. Everyone always talks about, okay, what is their background? What coaching tree are you part of? How many times do we hear Sean Payton give examples? Who did he always talk about? Bill Parcells. And that was year after year. Always giving examples. So, you know, everybody has to have a mentor. Like, you've heard me give examples. Like Joe Ferguson. You know, I'm in college at Northwest Louisiana. We were running the Buffalo Bills offense. I was like Joe Ferguson. We had Joe Delaney. He was like O.J. Simpson. So, you know, you go and who's your mentor?
And for you, also June Jones.
Yeah, June Jones. But I was already a pro then.
Yeah.
He helped me to get the Pro Bowl and all that. But I mean, as far as when you lay in that groundwork, three-step, five-step drop, reading cover two, cover three, all the covers, everyone has a mentor. And so that'll be interesting to see, Kellen Moore, who you use as an example. Well,
his dad.
And who I learned this from. Or it might be Woodstock, where you were at, and something that you could come about. But that's interesting to see. And I'm going to leave you with this. I think he's a great coach. Will he work out as a head coach? We got
to
wait.
To be determined.
Yeah. That is to be determined. You know why it's not a slam dunk? Don't we view Coach Spags and what he's done with the Chiefs? Oh, he's a Pro Football Hall of Fame defensive coordinator. You know what he was with the Rams? He was worse than Dennis Allen. Do you know he was 10-38 and a big enough sample size? And we all know he was a disaster as a D-coordinator. You never know, right place, right time, D-coordinator with the Saints. Historically, gave it the most yards ever. But look, he won a Super Bowl with the Giants, and then look at the Super Bowls he won with the Chiefs.
Right.
But as a head coach, he was 10-38.
Oof.
10-38. So, no, we got to wait and see what's going to happen. And he had 3 years to work out, so I don't think that'll be the case with Kellen Moore. But all I know is, again, the reason why I say this, I know he knows football and he's a football coach. Now, head coach, we got to wait and see.
Guys, I'm sticking along. It's Kellen Moore Day, so I'm going to stick along those lines. The first move he's made under, you know, rule at New Orleans head coach, the bringing back of running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire, signed to a one-year deal by the Saints. Still a lot, you would think, left in that gas tank for this young guy. Just 25 years old, I think, come April, he turns 26. And just curious if he can get by some of the mental aspects of the game to get back on the field in full force, because you know the talent's there.
I do know one thing. He can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. He is a good runner. He can cut the edge, runs hard inside, gives you what he's got. But why they really like him, he can pass protect.
Hello.
Man, he can pass protect. Ask Joe Burrow what he remembers about Clyde.
That's what I was actually. Joe Burrow, then, you know, I guess he might have had options and maybe he chose the Saints. But did Joe Burrow go to bat for him to bring him to the Cincinnati? You know what I mean? Now, Cincinnati, their organization, they cheap. You know, I don't know what happened there. But I would think Joe Burrow would have went to bat for him, and if he chose the Saints, good for the Saints.
Man, I know one thing. Joe Burrow's going to bat for everybody now. T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Trey Hendrickson, everybody. He wants them back.
Rumblings are the Patriots in hot pursuit of T. Higgins.
I think T is one hell of a player. We'll be back
with
more sports talk right
after
this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in our number two of sports talk, more from the Kellen Moore press conference right after our 6 o'clock break right here on the Big 870 WWL.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more,
all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.